Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the SBK Betting Podcast. We're recording a day earlier than normal. It is Wednesday today, recording as it is all weather finals day, as customary on Good Friday. So this Friday coming up, and this, I think, is when Tom Collins comes into his own. Not only is it all weather finals day, Dubai World Cup on Saturday, Turf Dirt, internationals. So really, TC, first things first, sum up the quality of racing we have this weekend if you're a Tom Collins type of racing man.
Yeah, it's one of the best weekends of the year. I know everyone's going to be looking at this and think, God, this Saturday in UK is pretty dire. But no, Good Friday, I loved all weather racing. We all know this. And it's great that Good Friday is the platform for all weather to really succeed and everyone to watch the racing on terrestrial TV with ITV and also on Sky Sports Racing. And then you've also obviously got Dubai, as you've mentioned, with the Dubai World Cup and the brilliant undercard, including an Arabian race, which I will touch on later. And in the US, you've got the Florida Derby on Saturday, amongst other races. So a phenomenal weekend, if you're including the Friday, of action.
Yeah, certainly. So we'll it's probably from that point of view, difficult for you to sum down your main selection. So we'll look forward to going through that. Obviously, this is a weekend when Ross Miller comes into his own as well. And I'm sure there's the same levels of enthusiasm. But let's be honest, actually, lots of graded racing action in the National Hunt Sphere with Fairy House and the Irish National on Monday. So there's plenty, and I know that you're going to share your selections when the declarations come out over the next couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, it's important, isn't it? There's races for everybody, and I think too often people will try and cover everything, and you simply can't. You can look at certain things. The all-weather doesn't massively do it for me, so I tend to, you know, keep an eye on it but don't delve into it. So the jumping for me this weekend is a good card at Haydock, like you say, Fairy House on Monday. That will be where my attention is being, but I have given this as much thought as I can.
Brilliant. And that's with that in mind, I think we've got a really good race for you to do that in that sense as well, because the all-weather Friday meeting, all-weather finals day, is attracted some good horses, but it's got a very decent race in the 4.10, the all-weather Easter Classic middle distance handicap. Really good field. And, you know, when we've talked about poor field sizes throughout the course of the National Hunt season, this whole card in general has been really well supported. And we've got runners, as always, over from Ireland. We've also got runners over from France. But we've got 15 and only max 14 in this field. So there's one reserve in here. And it's a really good looking lineup. And I really think, TC, we'll start with you first. I wonder if Simon and Ed Crisford ever thought that Oh So Grand, who's currently the favourite antipost at the moment for this race, I wonder if they thought they would meet Penzance, who they formerly trained, in a race like this when they sold them for 31,000 guineas to the Horse Watchers last July. Because, you know, of course, the son of Wootton Bassett has absolutely flown since he's moved yards to McAppleby's, up £14. And then, as you know, Oh So Grand, you're winning Knapp, I think it was, back in January in the Winter Oaks. Now they face off each other. It's quite interesting with that in mind. And it's not just about them, those two either. It's a really deep field for them to compete against.
Yeah, it's a really good race. Some of these all-weather championship races do become something like a match race, or there's an odds on favourite and whatnot over the years. But this contest is far from it. It's definitely the best race of the day in England. And yeah, you've mentioned two main horses there in the race, but we haven't talked about the likes of Claymore, who drops down from a Group 3. Tamusius Fox, who is arguably one of the most impressive all-weather winners of the winter when he sluiced up at Kempton last time. You've also got Elegant Man coming across from Ammo Racing and Ireland. He's 2 from 3 in his career and rated quite high. He could be a group horse too. And for football fans, Antoine Griezmann's got a runner in the race in Hooking coming over from France. So it's a really good event. I think the market's kind of got it right with Oh So Grand and Penzance being at the top of the betting. And as you say, I really loved Oh So Grand prior to the Winter Oaks last time. And she kind of proved me right in that race, albeit she was way more impressive than I thought she was actually going to be. I mean, she took that corner, slingshot corner coming into the home straight at Lingfield and just sprinted past her rivals. It was a real assertive performance. She was imperious and way the best in the race. Now, coming into this event, you're thinking she's on a 4-timer. She represents connections that are really in good form. What's going to go wrong? Well, I don't think there really is a negative for her. The only reason why I'm jumping ship, and I know many punters are very loyal, and if they fancy a horse as much as I fancied Oh So Grand last time, they will generally stick with them next time up. I'm going to jump ship, and it's just the course. Now, I know she's won at Newcastle before, but she is very much a quickener. She has a wicked turn of foot over this kind of distance, and that is how she's managed to rack up three consecutive victories. Newcastle, with the long home straight, different topography to the likes of Lingfield, Wolverhampton, etc., you need to be able to have an ability to sustain an effort. That is way more crucial than the ability to quicken. Now, obviously, acceleration is obviously crucial in all kinds of flat racing or weather racing or whatnot. But if you only do it for a furlong and then start to falter and slow down, you're not going to win at Newcastle because they get racing way, way too far out in most of these events. So on that basis, I have to oppose her because she's favourite. And I just think Penzance is a more likely and logical winner in this race. Now, you talked about there, Simon and Ed Crisford used to have this horse, and they definitely wouldn't have expected him to hit these heights so quickly after they offloaded him. But it is the Horse Watchers and Mick Appleby. We know what they've done when they've teamed up in the past. And 31,000 for this horse has proved to be a right sniff, hasn't it? Penzance won his last four races. He's gone from mark of 73 to 98. So it's a quick £25 rise in the handicap. And many people may look to offload him for that reason. You know, this horse is now competing against much better rivals than he has been in the past. However, I think there's been clear signs in his last two starts that there's still plenty to come from him. I don't think the tank has ever really gone empty in any of his last four races, including when he only just beat Stormcatcher here two starts back. Now, he made a bid from the front that day. The pace completely collapsed, but he was always on the speed. He went clear. Stormcatcher, in his typical way, loomed up large and really travelled through the race well. Actually, passed Penzance with 50 yards to go, but Penzance rallied. And Ali Rawlinson never got to the bottom of him. You know, he was just nudging out. He looked to his left, there's Stormcatcher. Penzance immediately picked up and went past him. Now, you don't see that all that often at Newcastle, especially with the wind you tend to get there. Last time up, again, the race probably didn't go to plan on a track that I don't think suits him as well as Newcastle. So the switch back to this venue with the long straight, I think from a decent draw where Ali Rawlinson can get into a nice position, Penzance has to be the favourite in here. And I'm really hoping the Horse Watchers get another win because the way they campaign their horses is phenomenal. Arguably the best of any owner in the country on the flat. They deserve to get a big prize, and Penzance should do it for them here, in my opinion.
Yeah, a very well thought out case, I think, TC. And I completely agree with everything you said. There's no point repeating it. And I think, I wonder what you think, the fact that Elegant Man is in the race with a rating of 108, 9 stone 12, God, that must help. The likes of Penzance, yes, he's gone up in the rating, but he's got a lovely racing weight in this because of those higher rated in who have turned up here.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like he's running and carrying 10 stone in this race. You know, he's only carrying 9.2. Now, I know he's gone up the weight, so if you go back 2 months, he would be carrying way less. But as I say, I think there's still more potential for him to be rated 105 to 108 like Elegant Man is right now. So arguably, he's still well handicapped. These types of horses don't usually get missed in the market because they've got a string of ones next to their name. But because he's running in such a race with the likes of Elegant Man, Oh So Grand, Timusius Fox, who have all won very well recently, I still think there's value there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think around about 4 to 1, but we'll see how those prices change. I'll be really interested to see what this market does over the next couple of days. As you say, Elegant Man, a son of Arrogate, still an entire horse. Could be anything, really. We don't really know, especially trying to translate the form from Dundalk last time. Tyson Fury's coming over, who was second to him. As they obviously think a good bit of him that he can run in a race like this. But running in a handicap, they I don't know if they... You think that if he is really a top level, they would be giving him a go in a better class of race. But look, we shall see. David Egan and Amo Racing have had a great start. They have Mr. Professor last weekend in the Lincoln. And as TC has quite rightly said, it's not a two-horse race. It's not about the Oso Grand v Penzance. There's so much depth to it, Ross. I'm sure, as you mentioned, you know, you might not be a massive fan of the all-weather season throughout most weekends, but you can appreciate races of this quality.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen plenty of sort of talk about Penzance through my social media. I saw a bit with Chris Dixon sort of talking that they still think this horse has got more to give. So I sort of went back through his form and just a little bit of value maybe showed itself to me. So on New Year's Day, Penzance, TC's just said, beat Stormcatcher a short head. Penzance raced up with the pace. Stormcatcher came from a bit further back and challenged. Penzance was in receipt of £7 on that occasion. Stormcatcher on his next start went to Wolves and won a pretty easy assignment, but did it nicely. Now comes back to Newcastle. He's on £6 better terms. From a very similar draw, they were 11, I think it was, he came out of on New Year's Day. He comes out of 9 now on Friday. assuming the same sort of tactics play out and Penzance goes forward, there is a chance perhaps that he gets a bit softened up with plenty of horses that want to go forwards. I thought a £6 pull at the weights was reasonable from a similar sort of draw. I could see a similar sort of thing playing out, and Stormcatcher challenging late. Maybe Penzance, if he has to go a bit harder in the early stages, won't have so much reserves to repel him. He's available at 12-1 versus Penzance, like you say, at around about 4-1, 7-2. So I thought there was a little bit of value there. Then you look back in third and there's Old Sir Busker, who is without a win in coming on for 2 years now. I think it was July 2022, but he still runs very consistently. He was 2¼ lengths away. He was giving Penzance £16, Stormcatcher £9. He gets a pull of £12 with Penzance, £6 with Stormcatcher. And then prior to that, he was second again over course and distance behind Catcher Thief. Catcher Thief is in here at 6-1. He was giving him £23. Now, Catcher Thief did put him away with a degree of comfort, but there's an £11 pull at the weights here now. Sir Busker's best form has come on this track at Newcastle. He's one of his only two all-weather wins is here. He's again 12-1. So just looking at it in a very sort of broad sense, I thought those two at 12-1 were a little bit of value against horses that they've got form with, legitimately have got reason to get a little bit closer, who are much shorter in the market.
Yeah, and I think this is to TC's point again, you know, the market will be kind of revolved around the kind of hyper horses with the ones to their names, the ones that had probably got slightly more patchy form. And poor old Sir Busker, the handicapper hasn't really been that kind to him. You know, he was beaten 3½ lengths last time. They dropped him a pound. You know, he's such an admirable sort. They could just give him a little pull, but, you know, every little helps, but a pound, oh, it still might be tough. As you say, his best performance to date recently came off this rating. So let's hope that maybe that gives him a little edge. But it's a race of a lot of depth, but he always shows himself with a lot of credit, that horse. And another thing is Simon Pierce, you know, a man with not a huge string with a lot of storm catchers in his yard, but this is a kind of horse that's been his real flag bearer. So, you know, as TC says, the horse watchers deserve to win a race of this nature with a horse of that. But you really hope that, you know, do it for the good guys, the younger guys like Simon Pierce, who is really trying to build and strengthen out his string. So I think there's a lot of storylines going on in this race, and there's a lot to take away from it. And let's hope Stormcatcher and Sebuska can run good races as Ross has put them up. I'm with TC with Penzance. I'm not going to repeat what he said here. I've just been really taken away by how they've really thrown this horse on his head. I don't know whether he might have had an issue coming out of Simon Ed Crisford's. They obviously had him off the track for a little bit, but whatever they've done, they sweetened him up and he just seems to be thriving. And I think Wootton Bassett's really do that. They get better as they get older. And let's see if he can keep up that trajectory. So that's the all-weather Easter Classic middle distance handicap. Now, there is plenty more we want to try and get through in a small amount of time here. We've got the rest of the all-weather finals day. We know that Ross is going to give us some selections for the weekend. But TC, there's also Maidan as well. So let's go with Naps and Next Best for this day. And Ross, you might have yours for the weekend, but I know that TC definitely got more for this day that you want to share.
Yeah, I'll start with my Nap, which is actually on Saturday, but my Next Best is on Friday on Weather Championship Day. My Nap, we're filming this on Wednesday morning, so there is no final decks yet. Hopefully this horse gets in the field. It's another Horse Watcher's owned runner, and I've actually messaged Chris Dixon, but he hasn't replied yet, so I blame Chris if this horse doesn't run. The Nap is going to be Walsingham in the 5:20 at Musselburgh on Saturday. Look, I'm really keen on him in this race. Horse Watchers went to 50,000. To purchase this son of Lope de Vega from Ireland, used to be trained by Dermot Weld. He ran to a fair level on numerous occasions over in the Emerald Isle, and I'm very surprised the handicap has dropped him down to a mark of 78. He's only had 8 starts in his career. On 5 of those occasions, he's run to an RPR, race and post rating, of 84 or higher. Now that tells me, one, he's pretty consistent at that mid to high level 80 kind of performance, and two, there's probably more improvement to come, so why is he running off 78? Therefore, this is a very shrewd pickup. I know they went to a little bit more than the horse watchers generally go to for these horses in training pickups, but 50,000 could be a good buy in Walsingham. He could easily become a 100 rated or high 90 rated horse in time. And I love this finishing effort. Last time up at Leopardstown, when his former connections decided to change tactics. Previously, they were going forward with him. Last time at Leopardstown, they held him up in mid-division. They came with a big late run and he flew in the final half of furlong. He just failed to get up on the line. And if he won that race, he might not have even gone to the sales. So I think Walsingham's a very interesting runner. Now, he does come off a layoff. That is a bit of a concern. And we've seen with Penzance, he's 4 from 5 for these new connections. But first time up, he only finished 4th and has clearly improved step by step since. So maybe Walsingham won't be at his best, but I don't think he even needs to be to win this race in the 5:20 at Musselburgh on Saturday. My next best is on Friday. Comes in the All-Weather Championship Marathon Race, 1:53 at Newcastle. Interesting race again, full of very good horses. I'm going to side with the improver, and that's Vaguely Royal for John and Thady Gosden. Older horses have a pretty good record in this race, but I really like the lightly raced profile of this four-year-old. He battled back very well to win over 1.5 miles at this track in October. Backed that up at Lingfield off a over a similar kind of distance. And his last two starts, they ran him again over 1.5 miles, again on a tighter turning track. And that race just developed into a real sprint and he couldn't go with them in the latter stages. He's very one-paced. John and Thady Gosden are obviously super smart trainers. They're the best. And they realised that this horse needs more distance. So they stepped him up to 2 miles last time. And I actually really love the performance. I thought he definitely shaped like the best horse in that race. So he sticks to the distance today on a more galloping track at Newcastle, which I think is definitely going to help him. He's clearly well handicapped. And if they get racing early, as they tend to do, as I've already mentioned, at this venue, hopefully his stamina can come into play and he can just grind them all down in the latter furlong. So I'll take Vaguely Royal in the 1:53 at Newcastle as my next best.
Yeah, interesting horse that. You don't actually see Bjorn Nielsen with that many runners anymore, but Vaguely Royal horse that I think they thought he was a proper Melrose horse at one stage, but he was a bit disappointing in that. But good to see that they've really sort of found the key for him. So that's Vaguely Royal, 1:53 at Newcastle, and then 5:20 at Musselburgh. Can the horse watchers do it again and improve another sort that they bought from the horse and training sales? That's Walsingham, their first run for them with David O'Meara now the trainer. As I said, 5:20 at Musselburgh. Okay, right, Ross, what have you got for us? I know we've got something else coming separately. So watch this space on social media for some of the racing for the weekend. But anything else from Friday?
Yes, I have two for Saturday, but there was one that just caught my eye when I was going through the three all-weather cards on Friday. And it was in the 3:15 at Lingfield. Anyone that knows me will know I'm partial to a marathon or a Snickers, as it's now called. But I do like the two-mile marathon handicap at Lingfield. And it's the Ben Brookhouse-trained Sarsen's Risk. He was quite impressive when winning at Southall 3 starts ago. Went up £4 for that, and it was quite a strong performance in that coming to sort of 2 furlongs out, it was, is he going to get there, is he not, against the favourite. And actually at the line, he was comfortably on top and drawing away. Went up £4 for that. Next start at Newcastle, met plenty of trouble in running under Dougie Costa though. Still finished a good effect into 5th. And his latest run came over 1.3 miles at Southall. That looks to me like it was a run designed to protect his mark. He actually got £1 back, so he's only £3 higher than for that win at Southall. Returns after a 66-day layoff. He's 2 from 3 when running off the back of a layoff of 60 days or more. I think this looks like it's been a target from some way out. So Sarsen's Risk in the 3:15 would be my all-weather selection.
Okay, yes, thank you for that. And as said, mentioned again, we will have some more coming through separately on social media, on Twitter for the weekend's jump action. We will not ever let you down, you jumps fans. But as mentioned as well at the start, we've got the declarations in for Maidan for the Dubai World Cup meeting. They came through on Monday. We don't have the draws yet for the Group 1 races as we record on Wednesday, but they will come a bit later. So that's probably going to reshape things up a little bit from a selections point of view. But as TC, as you mentioned at the start, a really great day of racing into the evening time at Maidan. I think one of the best Dubai World Cup nights that they've had in a long, long time, rewarded for a lot of prize money they've put up and international competition. But you've a bit of a curveball for us because you've got an Arabian race that you want to give us some insight into.
Yeah, it's a fantastic card, definitely, as you say. I think the Dubai World Cup is actually lacking a little bit of depth that it usually has. But aside from that, the undercard is way better than usual. I hope Yushba Tezora goes close in the Dubai World Cup again. I hope Forever Young goes close in the UAE Derby. But this card does not start at 12 o'clock, like it says on Racing Post. It starts at 11:30. Give me the Dubai Kahala Classic. That's what I want, Jess. The Arabian horses. It's a Group 1 And many people are going to overlook this because they don't care about Arabian races. But I tell you, this is a good field of horses. I mean, I wouldn't have looked at this before this season, but I've been over to Saudi Arabia too much this term that I have to give this more emphasis. You've got the likes of Durgam Athba for Lucas Gaitan. This guy's strike rate is around 33% in Saudi Arabia. Phenomenal. So don't look past that horse. You have the UAE runners, the likes of First Class for Doug Watson. You've got Al Arkam as well. Then you have the two big ones. The two Saudi Arabian horses coming across. Tilal Al-Khalidiya, super impressive on Saudi Cup night on the turf. Adel Al-Faraidi, the best jockey in Saudi Arabia, rides him. But it's his stable companion, Asfan Al-Khalidiya. My favourite Arabian horse in training. How many times do you hear that on a podcast based in the UK? Not very often. Hopefully he gets the job done under Abdul Al-Afi. Look, I don't know what price he's going to be. Hopefully the traders haven't been watching all of his races in Saudi this year and they go 5-4 or 6-4 or something like that about him. He's going to be crazy. He's never lost. He's unbeaten in 17 career starts. Super impressive in the Obaya last time up. Yes, they've got to go to Maidan. Slightly different track to Riyadh. More kickback. Different kind of topography to it. But he's going to be in third or fourth in the early stages. I don't think Abdullah Al-Afi is going to get stuck in behind horses because that's not what you should do on Arabian. If you don't watch Arabian races, the big difference between them and thoroughbreds, thoroughbreds can quicken. Arabian horses generally can't. And also they've got a completely different mindset. They don't have their mind on the job 9 times out of 10. This horse does. Arguably, he races like a thoroughbred. I think he's going to win pretty decisively. Hopefully the traders aren't watching. They go 5-4. Asfan Al-Khalidiya in the Dubai Kahala Classic at 11:30, Jess.
Fascinating. And look, I will be there and I were discussing whether we were going to be handicapping this because I'm working for an American channel and we didn't know enough about the form. Now we do. So I'm going to credit Tom Collins when I'm on TV on Saturday because you've given me a lot more insight. Out of interest, because there isn't as much insight into it readily available, will the markets, will the traders find it difficult to price it up? I mean, I know he's got ones all to his name, so he looks like he must be a pretty useful horse, but it's difficult to really know compared to some of the others. So does that mean there might be some value there?
Well, as I say, I was in Riyadh for most of the season and Taif most of the season this year. Bookmakers didn't originally have any markets until around December, January time, and then they started pricing up. And every card in Saudi Arabia, there's two Arabian races, 12 race card, 10 thoroughbred, two Arabians. At the start, the traders had no idea how to price these Arabian races. But as the season went on, they got a bit better. To be honest, I don't think they're going to mess this one up in terms of prices. But the fact that Tilal Al-Khalidiya is against Asfan Al-Khalidiya could mean that they are a bit tentative on both counts. Tilal's got a very similar record. He's only been beaten once this year, beaten by a horse called Vizier, who's a nice animal. But Vizier is nowhere near as good as Asfan Al-Khalidiya. They both come in with loads of ones next to their name. Hopefully they think it's a match. I don't think it is.
Okay. And I can't press you for a nap in from the actual thoroughbred racing on the probably, day you're waiting for draws.
Probably forever young in the UAE Derby. I think he did phenomenally well over in Saudi Riyadh that day. He was on the wrong lead. He managed to come down the centre of the track and just pin the US runner, Bukum Dano. So I think forever young is probably one of the best bets in the UAE Derby. But he's a short price. I'm more excited about the Arabian race, I have to say.
Okay, well, let's hope it starts on a high for you. I think, for what it's worth, the Japanese, as we know happened last year, are going to have a brilliant Dubai World Cup. Looking forward to it. But I do think there's a lot of depth and intrigue around the Dubai Gold Cup. And the only problem is, and the reason why I'm a little bit tentative about this is because all the fancied horses all drawn really badly. You don't want to be in a double figure number, really. And we've got the likes of Tower of London in stall 14. You've got Trawlerman, who is my selection, in 16. You've got Enemy in 13. Eldarov is in 10, which is it's strange, really, how this will pan out. But I think, you know, they're all going to try and get to that front, and that's what they'll do. But Trawlerman of all is the horse that really does well off the lead. And I just think it might be quite hard to peg back. He's fresh, he's fit, he's a horse that comes in here with a winter off his back, but I just think he is improving. I was lucky enough to speak to Kieran Schumacher, who is so excited to have this ride. He thinks his horse is a genuine Gold Cup at Royal Ascot contender. We know what he did when he beat Kyprios. I just think he might be a little bit overlooked still. I think Tower of London could be beatable. It would have been a heavy enough race last time in Saudi. And Enemy, we saw what happened to him last year when he was I think he was second at Saudi, and then he was down the field in Dubai. And I think, I don't know, it might just take a little bit out of them, these stayers. So I'm happy to go for Trawlham in the fresh horse in the Dubai Gold Cup, but just a nervousness around this draw. But looking forward to it massively indeed. And I just say looking forward to seeing how TC gets on, because will you do any more selections on your columns, or if we want to follow a little bit more of what you like over the weekend, Tom?
Yeah, so Friday, my actual column for SBK will be on just all over Championship Day on Friday. But on my Twitter, I'll be posting all my selections for Dubai World Cup night. Can I quickly just mention the Godolphin Mile? I know we should keep this section short, but Saudi Crown is going to be a very short price favourite, and it is the first thoroughbred race of the day. So lots of punters will be looking at this race and think Saudi Crown could be a great start to double my money and move on to the remaining races. He's way the best horse in this event, but he would have been 110% primed. I hate that phrase. I hate when people say 110%, because physically not possible. But they would have done that with Saudi Crown when they were going to the Saudi Cup. Connections, FMQ Stables, who own him, are Saudi-based. That is his D-Day. He's even money. I actually prefer Isolate at 5-2. He won the race last year. So I think that's a very good match to get started with. But be tentative with Saudi Crown, because horses can drop off. When they hit their peak, they can drop off straight after. And this is a decent race as well. It's not like he's coming in at a 1-4 shot. He's an even money shot. Probably Isolates the bet.
Yeah, interesting. With Louis Saez on board, and I just think Tyler Gaffalione has been giving him so many good rides, but he's obviously in America. So Louis Saez just needs to try and get him out of 11, gun him to the front as best he can do, because that's a slight worry for me. But yeah, I think that's a really good race indeed. So we could be here all day, TC, going through this. And a lot to look forward to. Keep an eye on your social, on TC's social media. Keep an eye on SBK social media in general, because Ross will have his jumping selection. So a lot to look forward to. So hope we found a winner for you. Don't forget, as always, all new SBK users get £30 of free bets when you sign up and bet £10 for the first time. Plenty of options this weekend when it comes to that. Head to SBK, as you know, for lots of other offers and promotions throughout this weekend. Enjoy it. Enjoy it wherever you're tuning in and whatever is your preference. But all we can say, racing is definitely the winner here, as the very cliche saying goes. So have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.